What we're doing tonight is we're looking at chapter 3, which is essentially a continuation of last week on Bible intake. And just to rehearse just for a moment, last week we talked about the importance of the Bible for our Christian life. And that really the Bible intake in all of its different ways, whether it be hearing, reading, studying, tonight we're going to look at some more. All of the ways that we intake the Bible is essential to for us to live spiritually. It's our food, it's our nourishment, and we need it to commune with God. We need it to grow in godliness, and it's absolutely necessary. And last week we talked about three ways in particular that we need to discipline ourselves to intake the Word of God. And so, as we're going through this book, talking about disciplines, discipline involves work, but it can also become a joy and a delight. And so that's our prayer, that's our hope, and that is that in each of these disciplines, they're going to involve some commitment. They're going to involve some work, some planning, some effort, focus, prayerful determination to do these disciplines. But over time, they become more a part of you. They become become more natural. They become more joyful. You get more out of them. And so it may be hard to do these, but there are things that the Scripture tells us to do. There are things the Scripture teaches us is important for us and that we need them for our Christian lives. And so last week, we looked at three ways of bringing the Bible into our hearts and our minds. The first one is just hearing it. And so whether it be in church, worshiping together, listening to it on CD or your iPod, you're intaking the Bible by means of the ears, listening to preaching, listening to the public reading of Scripture. That's one way that we can internalize the Word of God. Another way that we talked about was reading the Bible, just having a plan for trying to make it through the Bible, whether it be a one-year plan, a three-year plan, whatever it is, just having a plan and seeking to get as much of the Bible into your heart and mind as possible. And then we also talked about, that's the same thing, isn't it? Sorry, I was redundant there. That's supposed to be study. Study the Bible. So number three is study. So number three is to slow down a little bit, to use some tools, whether it be a dictionary, concordance, write out the Scriptures, dig in a little bit deeper, try to discover what the meaning is of the Bible. Tonight, we're going to look at three more ways. And I think one of the reasons why he put these toward the back end is because these are probably even a little bit harder than the first three. Reading, hearing, studying the Bible. Studying obviously involves a little bit more effort than reading and hearing. But the ones that we're going to talk about tonight really take a lot of focus, a lot of discipline, a lot of time, a lot of hard work. But they are the ones that bring also the most payoff in terms of how they impact our lives spiritually. And so he gives the analogy of, at one point in the chapter, he gives the analogy of someone who's coming from the cold, you know, cold, snowy day outside. They come inside and there's a fire in the fireplace and they're cold, they're shivering. And he says the person walks by the fire and they feel warmed for a moment, but then they're over on the other side of the room and they ask themselves, okay, why am I not getting warm? Well, it's because you didn't stay and linger in front of the fire. You need to stay in front of that fire for a while for its effect to come onto you. And so he's saying that's kind of the difference between reading and hearing the Bible and slowing down and studying, meditating, memorizing, applying the Bible. In the ones that we're going to talk about tonight, it's a slower, more purposeful, deeper intake of the Word of God, but also brings greater effects into our lives. And so we're going to talk about these three tonight. Number four is memorizing the Bible. Number five, and we're going to look at these deeper. So four, five, and six, we're going to look at more specifically tonight. Memorizing the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and then applying the Bible. And so let's look at memorizing God's Word. And essentially what he does in the chapter is for each of these, he talks about the benefits that come to us from doing this Bible activity, and then also some methods, some just practical ways that we can put it into effect in our lives. And so let's talk about benefits of memorizing the Word of God. One of the ways that he talks about in the chapter is that memorizing God's Word can bring spiritual power. Bring spiritual power. And one of the examples that he uses is in the moment of temptation. In a moment of temptation, if you have God's Word in your heart, then you have weaponry. You have tools at your disposal with which to dispel that temptation. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. And one of the tools of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it says. And so we have these tools. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I've stored up your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And so internalizing God's Word serves as a defense against the devil and his temptations, and uses the example of Jesus. When the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, what did Jesus do? Every single time, in all three of those major temptations, he used Scripture to refute and to rebuke the devil and to send him away. And so if Jesus did it, and he's the Son of God, how much more do we need the Scriptures in our hearts and our minds to be able to resist the devil and his temptations? And so it brings spiritual power. It brings a strengthening of our faith. Last week we talked about faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if the initial faith of the gospel comes by the hearing of the Word of God, so also does the strengthening of that faith. The nourishment of that faith comes through the Word of God. And so we need the Word to grow in our trust, in our faith in God and His promises. Another benefit to memorizing Scripture is it can prepare us for all kinds of opportunities of ministry, such as witnessing or counseling with people, other believers. And so the more that you know Scripture, the better you're able to witness to unbelievers. You're better able to defend the faith with those who maybe belong to cults, skewed versions of Christianity. You're able to point out their weaknesses and their flaws in understanding the Scriptures. You're able to comfort and counsel other believers, admonish them, warn them, exhort them based on the teachings of Scripture. And so you have a whole tool shed, if you will, at your disposal if it's inside your heart and your mind because you've memorized it. Another benefit of memorizing God's Word, he says, is a means of guidance. That is, in times when we are making decisions in life, we need to make an important decision. We need wisdom from God. The Scriptures are a major source of God's wisdom. And so if it's already in our hearts and our minds, then we have a thought process. We have a grid through which to filter that decision through. It's already there. Our minds have been shaped already by the Word of God. Another benefit is it stimulates meditation. And this kind of leads into the other method of intaking the Word of God. And we'll see that there are some links between them. But he says that memorizing Scripture stimulates and fuels meditation. Why? Because you have fodder. You have food there for you to meditate on. You have some substance there that you can think about throughout the day. Even if you don't have the Bible in front of you and can read it, you have it in your mind. And you can pull out that verse that you were thinking on earlier in the day and think on it some more and take it out and look at it and examine it and think on it. That memorizing of the Word of God provides for more meditation. Then he has some practical advice, some methodology for memorizing the Word of God. And one of them is going to pull out the rug from everybody in this room, probably. And that is, one of the objections is, I just can't memorize, right? I can't memorize Scripture. But he says, you can. You can memorize Scripture. And he says, he uses the example, you know, how many of us in here can give people's phone numbers? How many of us can go down the list of all the members in our family, all their names? How many of us can spout off, you know, birthdays and lists? Paul is like, no, I can't do that. he says one of the things that we do sometimes is we use maybe our, you know, we use our intelligence maybe as an excuse, or we use maybe aging as an excuse, or we use, you know, time, lack of time as an excuse. And he says really a lot of it comes down to motivation. Motivation and time spent in it. Really the key to memorizing is repetition. Repetition and review is the key to memorizing. And so that takes some effort, it takes some time, it takes some discipline. But the more that you immerse yourself in Scripture, the more that you will remember it and retain it. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some who can memorize better. Yeah, there are some who can memorize better. There are some who can retain it better. God has wired us differently. But all of us can memorize, at least some. And so all of us can do it. But a lot of it is a lack of motivation or lack of putting in the time to do it. And so one of the things he suggests is have a plan. Come up with a plan. What, first of all, you know, what are you going to memorize? You know, don't say I'm going to memorize the whole book of Genesis. You know, start with something more manageable. Say I'm going to get like maybe 5 to 10 really key verses, key gospel verses, so that I can have some tools for witnessing. I'm going to memorize some key verses from John or Romans, and I'm going to have these at my disposal so that I can witness to people. Start there. You know, as you're reading, use your reading in the Bible as an avenue into memorizing the Bible. And so as you're reading through the Scriptures, find a verse that's key, a verse that just stands out to you, maybe a verse that applies to a certain situation in your life, or maybe a very important gospel verse. Write it down on a 3x5 card and just put it in your wallet, put it in your pocket, put it in your car, glove compartment, whatever. But have a plan. Have a plan for what you're going to memorize. And then write them out. Just write out the verses. Writing can actually aid memorization. And so don't even just write them one time. You could write them daily. If you write out the verses daily, you'll remember them even better than just saying them. And so write them out. One of the things he suggests, I don't know, this may work for some people. And by the way, these are not like thou shalt. These are just suggestions for memorizing Scripture, because I probably won't do this one. But if this suits you, go for it. He says, draw picture reminders. If you're more of a visual learner, draw a picture reminder. And you don't even have to be a great artist. You know, draw a stick figure with, you know, some couple little actions or something. And it'll jog your memory. And so maybe next to this verse reference, put a little stick figure or something and doing something, and it'll jog your memory about what that verse is that goes to that reference. It might work for you. One other thing he suggests is if you're going to memorize, then memorize. Memorize all the words. Don't settle for just I've got the basic idea. He says, you know, it'll give you more confidence in using the verses in your own life, in witnessing and counseling, if you can quote them with word for word accuracy. And really, if you do that over and over again, you can get it. One other suggestion is find a method of accountability. Maybe get another Christian friend, a spouse, someone else, maybe that can spur you on in this and help you in that, hold you accountable. And then really this one is key for memorizing anything, and that is to review. Review all the time. In fact, sometimes you'll find yourself reviewing more than memorizing new ones, because you'll have built up a storehouse or a bank of verses, and you'll need to review those to keep them up. Because if you don't do them every once in a while, you'll lose them. And so memorize and review. Then, so that's memorizing. How many of you think, let's just stop for a moment, and I'm not going to ask this question, how many of you memorize the Bible? Because there are probably a lot of us that don't have a systematic plan for doing it. But it, maybe in your own life, what have you found to be some challenges or some obstacles to memorizing the Bible? Okay. Yeah, just time, maybe priorities. Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Memorizing has to be purposeful. You have to really plan and desire to do it and stick with it and be faithful with it over time. I think another one that he brings in other places in this chapter is just all the distractions that we have. It's hard to focus sometimes on just one thing. We've got so many other things going on. It's hard to focus and just settle in on this one thing and block everything out.
What is the first scripture you memorized?
One of the first sections of scripture? The first one that I can remember memorizing was Luke 2. It was the birth narrative of Jesus. And I was in second grade. And it was in a Christian school, and it was Christmas time, and I think we memorized Luke 2, 1 through 20. So the birth narrative. Didn't have Bibles when you were in second grade.
But I think that for me personally, it was memorizing the pillar of truths, you know.
Yeah.
Like Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2.
Yeah.
Of course, some of the great doctrinal.
Yep.
Truths, you know, because that's gospel, you know.
That's right. That's good. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because in the chapter he mentions, you know, one strategy is try to memorize a portion, you know, a section of scripture. And now, it's been a little while, so don't ask me to quote it right now, but there was a time about a year ago that Anna, Luke, and I could quote Philippians 1 to you, because we said it pretty much every day. We just went through it, and we pretty much had it. Now it's been a while since we reviewed it, so we would probably stumble through it. But it can be done. And we would just say it out loud once a day, and the whole thing. Because I found sometimes when you try to memorize, like if you're trying to memorize a section, and you memorize a verse at a time, then what happens is you get a verse down and you get this verse down, but you don't remember that they go together. And so you'll say this verse, and then you'll be like, okay, what's next? And so if you do the whole method and just say the whole thing, or at least chunks of it at a time, then you get more of the connection between all the verses in your mind. It takes longer, but it's in the long run maybe a little bit more effective. Yeah. Yeah.
Where a lot of people, you know, we say, oh, fewer translations are easier to understand, but King James is easier to memorize.
There may be something to that. It had a certain rhythm to it. And, you know, it's almost one of those things that would be hard to scientifically, you know, because for me, I would say probably the King James for me was easy to memorize just because I grew up with it. And I was in Awana when I was a kid, and a big part of Awana was memorizing scripture. And so, in fact, if I quote a verse now, it's probably going to have very, very much King James language to it, just because that's most of what I memorized when I was a kid. But there may be something to that poetic rhythm as well. And you're right about that. You know, that's, and so maybe that may be part of your strategy is find a translation that you're very, very comfortable with, maybe the one that you're just most familiar with, and go with that. Yeah.
I was just going to say, a method that might be helpful is
music. Music, yeah. That's good. I know that there are a lot of psalms that have been put to hymn tunes, just singing the psalms, and that can aid in memorization. yeah, even other scriptures. Like from my youth, I could break out into 1 John 4, 7, and 8 right now based on a song. Elizabeth's nodding her head. She probably knows the song I'm thinking about. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, my kids know that one because I sing it when they're not showing love to each other. So, yeah, I'll start singing that song, 1 John 4, 7, and 8. But you're right. That's a good way to song really lends itself to memorization. So lots of strategies, but discipline. You know, you've really got to have a plan and set yourself to do it. And this isn't any great wisdom, but I think as I've been thinking about this book and all the things about related to discipline and self-discipline in our lives, a very simple definition of discipline for me is, what are you going to say no to in order to say yes to other things? Because we all have a limited amount of ability. We all have a limited amount of time, right? We have a limited amount of energy. And so in the 24 hours that we have, we're going to make choices of what we're going to do. So in order to fit in other better things, memorizing, meditating on scripture, prayer, other disciplines that we're going to talk about, in order to say yes to those things, you might need to say no to some other things in order to make room, not only time, but energy and willpower and just effort for things that are better. So we're going to say no to, we're going to say yes to. And that's a major part of self-discipline. Let's talk about the next one. Meditating on God's Word. So we've got memorizing. It's a key way of internalizing God's Word and helping to keep it there. That's one thing about memorizing is you're not just getting it in, but you're wanting to keep it there and store it up in your hearts. Meditating on God's Word is another key way of bringing God's Word into our lives. Now, when we think of meditation, what do we think of? You know, it's been a lot of Eastern influence into our culture, New Age, yoga. So when we think meditation, you know, maybe we think of somebody sitting with their legs crossed, with their hands, you know, going, and that's what we think of when we think of meditation. But the fact is, the Bible talks a lot about meditation, even commands it, exhorts us to meditate on God and His Word. But that's not what the Bible means when it talks about meditation. Eastern meditation is more the idea of just emptying your mind, just getting everything out, you know, kind of trying to conceptualize things. It's kind of just out there, you know, can't really get your hands around it. It's just kind of wander, daydream, empty. But biblical meditation is not that at all. Biblical meditation is not free wandering, you know, emptying. Biblical meditation is content-focused and driven. And so in meditation on the Bible, we want to have some substance there. So we want to have some truth that we can think on. And then we want to have a particular path that we're traveling on that meditation. So your mind, actually in meditation, in biblical meditation, your mind is actually more focused than your normal thinking. More focused, more linear, more on target, because you're trying to narrow in on some specific truths, ideas, and how they apply, what their meaning is. And so it actually takes more work, more thought discipline in biblical meditation, because you're trying to really nail down this thing. So you're not daydreaming. You're not just out there, you know, thinking randomly about biblical thoughts. You're narrowing in on a particular truth, a particular verse, and thinking on it deeply. Here's his definition of meditation. He says, meditation, Christian meditation, is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, or upon life from a scriptural perspective. So maybe thinking about a particular life situation, but from a biblical view. For the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. And so meditation has a specific target and specific goals in biblical meditation. And so what are the benefits of this? One of the benefits he talks about, and he uses several scriptures to talk about this, is God's blessing on our lives. God's blessing and to some degree success in what we do. And now he wants to qualify that some because he doesn't want to, and I agree with him, he doesn't want to just go down the road of the health, wealth, and gospel, you know, message that if you just do this, A, B, and C, then you're going to get rich and wealthy and all that. It's not necessarily what he's talking about. And he reminds us that in Scripture, sometimes the blessing of God is not seen in the here and now. Sometimes the blessing of God is seen ultimately in eternity. Sometimes success from God's perspective is not the same thing as success from man's perspective. But he does affirm the promises that if you meditate on God's word, if you treasure and delight in God's word, that God's going to bless that. And Joshua 1:8 is one he uses. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So focusing on God's word, meditating on it, applying it, doing it, and then you have God's blessing on your life. Another benefit of meditation is ultimately its goal, right? The ultimate goal of meditation is obedience to God, godliness, and then in turn His blessing. And so, remember, in everything that we're talking about in these spiritual disciplines, these are not an end to themselves. So we don't want to memorize Scripture just to get an award. You know, we don't want to memorize Scripture just to look smart. We don't want to memorize Scripture just to, you know, be the guy who can argue everybody down about a scriptural debate. The ultimate goal of Scripture memorization or of meditation that we're talking about now is to be like Christ. To be like the image of Christ that God desires for us to be in His will. And so meditation, thinking deeply on Scripture, leads us to obey it. And then in turn, God's blessing. Another benefit is a greater affection for God. Just thinking more deeply about scriptural truths leads us to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind. Increase our loyalty to God and His commands and seeking to follow Him. A more powerful prayer life with God. Because as we pray scripturally, we're praying more in accordance with His will. And the Bible says, when you pray in accordance with His will, He hears us and He gives us the request that we asked of Him. And so praying in line with God's revealed truth in Scripture brings us more in line with God's will. More powerful prayer life. And so those are some benefits, methods. Select an appropriate passage. So meditation, it's got a focus. You know, meditation is not just, I'm going to meditate on the Bible today. You know, 66 books. What am I going to think about today? No. Meditation is, you know, what did I read today? Maybe a paragraph, a couple of verses. Let me just focus in here, narrow in on this and what this is saying. And so you got to choose a passage, maybe something that stood out to you in reading. And then take that and think on it. And then he says, select a method of meditation. Now, I'm going to fly through these. There are 17 of them, okay? This is going to be like an F-16, flying over 17 methods of meditation. And the point here, and by the way, if you don't have the book, just ask me. I'll get it to you. Don't try to write all 17 of these down, because I'm going to go faster than you can even write, okay? Maybe, unless you're like a stenographer. The point of these is not to do all of them. The point is maybe to pick two or three or four that help you meditate. And you can even vary them. You know, so one day you might meditate by means of prayer. One day you might meditate by means of writing Scripture down. And as you write Scripture down, it helps you to slow down and focus in on what it's saying. So these are just a bunch of different methods. Some you might find useful, some others you might not find useful. Don't try to do all these. These are just some suggestions of things that he or other believers have used profitably to help focus their minds on Scripture. One he suggests is emphasize different words. So, God is love. Think about God. as the emphasis of that. What does that mean? Who is God? Is. What is the idea behind is? He's always love. He just is continually, you know, and then focus on love. What is love? How is God love? And so it's like you're emphasizing different words in the statement. You're kind of, it's almost like he used the illustration, you're taking a diamond and kind of looking at the different facets of it. So looking at the different words in the statement. The second one is rewrite it in your own words. So take a verse, paraphrase it in what the way that you think it means. What's the main idea? Paraphrase, summarize what the idea is of the verse to help you meditate on it. Formulate a principle. This would be maybe something that would be appropriate for a larger section of Scripture, maybe a paragraph. What's the main idea here? What's the big thought that's communicated here? A main principle. Think of an illustration or a picture in your mind. Jesus uses a lot of illustrations in his parables and his teachings. He says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Well, you know, as you're reading through a passage of Scripture, what picture or image maybe could help me meditate or think on this? Look for applications. And this leads into the last way of in taking the Word of God and applying it. So apply the Word. Meditate to do. Meditate to apply. Meditate to obey. What are ways that I can apply this passage of Scripture? How does this text point to either the law, what God requires, and how I failed in keeping the law, or how does this passage speak to the gospel in how God has remedied my failure in grace and mercy? So think about it in terms of law and gospel. How does it point to Jesus? How does this text show how Jesus fulfilled this or is the culmination of this? What question is answered or what problem is solved? What's the issue here that this text brings a solution or an answer to? Pray through the passage. There's a book that's been written called Pray With Your Eyes Open. And the idea is to pray with Scripture open. And so you're praying the Scriptures, praying with the Scriptures, aiding your prayers and guiding them. So pray through the passage. Memorize the text. So these are all kind of interwoven. One way to meditate on it is to get it in there so you can think on it more often. Create an artistic expression of the text. This one's probably not for me either, but I'm not much into drawing. But if that helps you, meditate on the meaning of it. Maybe you're reading through Jesus' parable of the house on the sand and the house on the rock. You know, draw a picture of it and think about its meaning. Ask the Philippians 4:8 questions of the text. What are the Philippians 4:8 questions? What is true? What's honorable? What's right? What's pure? What's lovely? What's admirable? Think on these things. So what in this passage is true about God, about Christ, about the way he relates to us? What in here is pure? So it's one way to think through a passage. Maybe asking some questions of the text. Who, what, where, why? You know, just basic questions. Set and discover a minimum number of insights from the text. He gives an illustration of a professor at Dallas Seminary who, in his class, gave the students an assignment in seminary and said, come back tomorrow with 25 insights from Acts 1:8. So Acts chapter 1:8, go in, you're going to be my witnesses to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So bring back 25 insights. He said, then the next day he said, okay, now go back, go home, and bring back 25 more tomorrow. And a lot of the students were complaining. And he said, yeah, well, the record is over 600. He's like, I had a student give me 600 one time. So, you know, what are insights? What are maybe applications, ways that this could be applied, implications of the text? Find a link or a common thread. What are some words maybe in this passage that you see kind of pop up here and there throughout the passage? Maybe some themes or threads that weave through. Does it relate to your situation? So maybe in meditating on it, how does it apply to where you are? And then use meditation mapping. You're like, what is that? It is it's basically you take a piece of paper, and on the piece of paper in the middle, you put the main idea. Okay, so in the center is the main idea, or maybe the main word, main thought, or the verse itself. And so if you're thinking about John 3:16, write out John 3:16, put it in the middle circle. And then what you're going to do is, spinning off of that, you're going to draw other circles that relate to the main idea. And so you're going to take John 3:16, then off here, you're going to say world. What does this mean by the world? And then you're going to have other ideas around world. You say, what is love? Have some other ideas around love. That's what it means by that. And so it's just a way of visualizing, in terms of relationships, the meaning of the verse. Those are just some ways to maybe help focus your mind, because our minds wander, right? Our minds wander. If we try meditation with no plan, we're probably going to end up daydreaming, or we're going to end up doing yoga meditation without trying to, right? Because our minds are going to be here, there, and everywhere. So he's just suggesting these things so that we can have focus, a plan, to keep our minds on track. Don't rush. Take time. The whole idea with meditation is to slow down and to go deeper and avoid distractions. Put everything away. Put your iPad away. Put your iPhone away. Turn the TV off. Turn the music off. And slow down and go deep. Applying God's Word. Let's go through this very quickly. Applying is basically taking what God's Word says, putting into practice in our lives. What are the benefits? The blessing of God. James 1:22 through 25. Blessed are the ones who not only hear the Word, but do it. Put it into practice. John 13:17. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. And so knowing the Word of God, God's blessing when we put them into practice. Growth in godliness. That's our ultimate goal, right? So our goal is not just to learn a bunch of verses. Our goal is to hide God's Word in our hearts so that we might not sin against God. So godliness. Here are some methods. Expect to discover an application. So when you come to the Word of God, expect that you'll find something there that relates to your life. Expect that you'll find a principle there that you can put into action, into practice. Understand the text. And the reason why this is so important is because if you don't understand what the passage means, you're going to end up probably with wrong applications. Because first, you've got to start with, okay, what does this mean, and how would the Israelites in Hosea's day have understood this? How would the Israelites in Haggai's day, or in Samuel's day, how would they have understood this? If they were to hear Hosea's words, how would they put them into practice in their day? You've got to understand that first before you can make the jump 2,000-3,000 years later. Different culture, different language, different geography, to how we apply the passage now in our day. So you got to understand it first, what it means, and then you can get better applications of it when you understand the principle. Because some Bible texts are going to come straight over, easy applications. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Okay? That's a pretty easy application, okay? Take care of things quickly. Don't let anger reside. Go to your brother quickly and resolve it. That's a pretty simple application. The call of Abraham in Genesis 12. So am I supposed to move to Canaan? No, that's not what that means, right? So the call of Abraham, God's special call on his life, you can't just take that and say, okay, that's God's word to me. I'm supposed to pick up and leave my father and mother and move to Canaan. That's not what that means. So you've got to understand how it works, what it means, what's its function in the passage before you can understand how it fits and how it may apply in your life. Meditate in order to discern an application. Ask application-oriented questions. So probe the passage with application in mind. And then his last suggestion is respond specifically. Don't be vague in your applications. come away with something concrete, specific, that you can apply. Otherwise, you won't do it. So, for example, I just wrote off in the margin when I was thinking through that. I wrote Zacchaeus as a good example of hearing the Word of God and the Word of God changing his heart and then having a specific application. He said, I am going to give back everything that I've stolen and fourfold, and then I'm going to give also to the poor. So he had a specific plan. He had a specific action in the way that he was going to apply the truth. And so try to get specific in the way that you're going to apply it to your life. And then he just comes back at the end and says, so will you, now he turns it back to us, are you going to come up with a plan for memorizing? Or is this just going to be something, hey, that was nice, some super Christians will do that, they'll memorize, but that's not for me. What about you? What about hiding God's word in your heart? Will you cultivate the discipline of meditating on God's word? Meditation, biblical meditation, is not going to come easy. It takes focus. It takes thought, discipline. It takes a plan. Are you going to cultivate that? Will you prove yourself an applier of God's word, a doer of God's word? And so we have James 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. And so hear it, but also apply it. I was racing through that because I wanted to give you a big overview. And we're about 4 minutes over. But any thoughts, maybe some struggles maybe that you've had in either applying, memorizing, meditating on the scripture, or maybe some things that have worked for you that you would suggest to other people? Maybe ways that you've helped yourself to be disciplined in those areas or specific methodologies that you've used, or just any thoughts that you might have?
Read the Bible until she came to a commandment, and laid her Bible down, and did the commandments.
So read until she found a point of application or a very specific command.
Did the commandment. Yeah.
There you go. Don't just hear it, but do it. Right.
That is probably one of the biggest weaknesses of hearing.
Yeah. It is, and I agree with that. And so there we have a lot of hearers, but not a lot of doers. And the last suggestion that he made along those lines was to get specific. I think that really helps. Is that even this, not only when you're reading, but even if you're sitting in a sermon, you know, sitting at church and listening to a sermon, how can this change me? And by the way, an application doesn't necessarily have to be a physical, here's what I do with my hands application. An application could even be internal, you know, just your heart orientation or even your thought life, you know, that can be an application as well. And so it doesn't necessarily have to mean something physical that you do with your feet or your hands. It could be something internal, even just loving God more or controlling your thoughts more. Philippians 4:8, thinking on these things more, these beautiful, true, pure things more. That's an application. And so you might have a certain thought pattern, maybe a worrisome thought pattern. And you say, based on the scripture, do not be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And so you as an application say, I'm going to stop being worried about this. And when I'm tempted to be worried about this and I start thinking about it, I'm going to immediately get down on my knees and pray about it and give it to God. That's a specific application. And it could be all kinds of things. But I agree with you. There's a disconnect there sometimes between hearing and doing it. Any other thoughts? Feel hungry? Ready to go? All right. Let's pray together and just ask God to bless us as we go. Let's pray. Father, you're good. We thank you. We give you praise that you have left us with a witness, with the testimony of yourself and of your truth. God, so often we are undisciplined in our taking in of the Word of God. We don't do it purposefully. We don't do it as often as we should. Sometimes we do it, but we do it shallow, in a very shallow way, without going deep, meditating, thinking often about your truths. God, I pray that you would help us to resolve, each of us, to come up with specific plans, specific applications of even this lesson of how we can be better at intaking the Word of God into our hearts so that we might draw near to you and so that we might reflect the character of Christ. And so I pray, God, that you would give us your grace to do that, to live out the gospel, to live out the calling that you've placed in our hearts. So, Lord, be with us as we go. And we pray this through Christ. Amen.